This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
This hour, I got a bunch of stuff to talk to you about, including, obviously, this Pennsylvania woman, this elected official, and this hate crime fugazi, this hate crime hoax. In fact, this story is amazing. It's, you know, it's making national news now. And the Daily Wire had a story about this. It's Allentown, Pennsylvania. Latarsha Brown, she's an employee of Allentown City. She staged a hate crime. This did not get the attention that Juicy Smollett did, but the Allentown Police Department charged Latarsha Brown, said that she contacted the department on January 10th, 2025, just after 7:30 in the morning, to report that she had found what she claimed was a noose on her desk after arriving at work. Numerous law enforcement entities quickly became engaged in the criminal investigation, including the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the Pennsylvania State Police, and the Lehigh County District Attorney's Office. Police used building video surveillance and access control records to whittle down the list of potential suspects who were present on the third floor of the building where her desk was located between the time she left for work the previous day and the morning that she called the police. Now, remember something. Dr. Wilfred Riley, our buddy, wrote the book called Hate Crime Hoax, but he wrote that book before this. Those employees were interviewed. Each of them was asked if they would provide a swab, okay, a buccal swab for DNA testing if needed. Every city employee agreed, except for Mrs. Brown, except for the woman who said she had a noose on her desk. She's the only one who wouldn't agree. Now, first of all, these DNA tests are very tricky things, and I have a problem with them. I really, really do, especially something as stupid as this. But imagine this now. You voluntarily give over your DNA to law enforcement. Now they have your DNA, all right? And I don't know the procedure. I don't know if that automatically gets erased or not. But let's say it goes into a computer database somewhere. You just did this to be a nice guy, to be cooperative and helpful. I don't know if you can get your DNA records destroyed. I don't know how it works. I have nothing. But can you sue her for you having to give the state your DNA? I wonder about that. Because if you can, I'm sure you probably could. I would sue her ass for that if I was one of these employees in a heartbeat. So anyway, all these employees volunteered to give the swab of their DNA except her. And there was like, well, wait a second, why wouldn't you help out? Then she requested the investigation be discontinued. That's when the officials from the Forensic DNA Division of the Pennsylvania State Police issued a written report on March 10th, indicating that Brown's DNA matched the DNA profile obtained from the swabs of both the outer surface of the noose and the inner knotted portion of the noose after taken apart. No other person's DNA profiles was found on the evidentiary items involved in the investigation. She was subsequently charged by the Allentown Police Department on two criminal charges, including tampering with or fabricating physical evidence and false reports to law enforcement authorities. There you go. Latarsha Brown. Hate crime hoax. Fugazi hate crime hoax. There you have it. There you got it. Right there. Okay. Now, as we continue along the show here today, and there's a lot to get to. Let me mention what happened in Pennsylvania. This is a wake-up call across the country. I know we have listeners all over, but this special election in PA did not get nearly the attention it deserved. And this was a big, big loss here because of the district. And it's a great reminder to never take anything for granted. All right? You think you got a safe seat? You think it's a safe district? You think President Trump performed well there? Well, you're not Trump. And you got to act like, I told you, there's only two ways to run in life. Two ways to run. Scared or unopposed. Period. That's it. That's it. It's the only way to run. Scared or unopposed. So Democrat Dan Gaugenhauer won the Pennsylvania State House seat vacated by the death of the most recent office holder, which now gives the Democrats a narrow majority in the Pennsylvania House. He's a member of the McKeesport School Board and a police officer. He beat Republican Chuck Davis, the president of the White Oak Borough Council. The result is not a surprise in the Democrat-leaning House District 35, which voted for former Vice President Kamala Harris in November with about 58% of the vote. The seat has been vacant since January when then-Representative Matt Gergely died. He had been elected in the State House in 2023 in a special election to succeed Lieutenant Governor. But here's the thing, though. Trump won the county, Lehigh County, in a big, big way. He crushed it by 15 points. Or excuse me, Allegheny County, excuse me, which is a big deal. He won that county by he did really, really well. So you see, when you think about this now, and you look at this situation, and you turn around and you go, this Democrat, it was 400 votes. 400 votes. So that's a real bummer right there. And you think, man, what happened, right? Couldn't we have kept that seat? But it gets even worse because there was another election where a Democrat won. And this is an even worse situation because this district, unlike that district, was Republican. So, Senate election in Pennsylvania, major upset. Democrat James Malone won a Pennsylvania state Senate seat. So I confused the two races. So this is the one that was 400 votes in Lancaster County. So I confused the two. My apologies on that. So let me just set the record straight on that so you're not confused. There were two special elections. Democrats won both, but this is the upset one. Democrats win special state Senate election in Pennsylvania in major upset. James Malone won an open Pennsylvania state Senate seat in a district that voted comfortably for President Trump in November, according to a Decision Desk HQ projection. Malone, the mayor of East Petersburg, narrowly defeated Republican Lancaster County Commissioner Josh Parsons to represent Senate District 3 for the remainder of former state Senator Ryan Aument's term. Aument resigned from his office in December to become the state director for Senator Dave McCormick, who took office back in January. And it was about a 400-vote differential. And the district went to Trump by 15 points in 2024. And has had a 23-point Republican voter registration advantage. So it's a big deal. So even though President Trump won the state and did incredibly well in Allegheny County, the Democrats still won that special election for the House, claiming the majority. And even though President Trump crushed it in Lehigh County and this district by 15 points, and it was a Republican seat and it looked like the Republicans were going to win, the Democrat won by 400 votes. And the problem for this, of course, is that you have a new Republican state chairman in Pennsylvania. So everybody said, well, this was his first test. And he acknowledged. He acknowledged that this was a big mistake. And he acknowledged that this is a wake-up call for the party, that they cannot take anything for granted. So, you know, before you start thinking of Pennsylvania as a red state, these two elections should be a big wake-up call to remind you that, yeah, just because Trump won, just because McCormick won, Pennsylvania still has a Democrat governor. Pennsylvania still has control, just again in the House now with the Democrats, and a Democrat just won in a red district for the state Senate seat that should have easily gone to the Republican. And you have another senator in John Fetterman, who's a Democrat. So I point all this out because, you know, 2028 is going to be here before you know it. Midterm elections are going to be here before you know it. And this is a real problem. Now, all their district, this particular district, too, was really frustrating because they've all been Republicans. And the chairman of the party said, you know, this is a big wake up call here for everything that we've done here. But it's just a reminder, a big reminder. You know, you can never, ever take these things for granted. John Fetterman, by the way, has called out the absolute pandering by far left of the far left Democrats. Absolutely absurd pandering to far left Democrats. John Fetterman, Pennsylvania's other senator, attacked his fellow Democrats for wanting a government shutdown just to spite the Republicans. He did an interview with Jewish Insider on Monday about his ongoing conflict with some members of his party, particularly over his support for Israel. But his latest issue with the Democrats, even the more extreme members of his party, came from their demand that the Democrats refuse to support a Republican bill to fund the government earlier this month. Fetterman was one of 10 Democrats who broke ranks to vote for the bill to keep the government open. He said, quote, "I was really the first Democrat to refuse to shut our government down, and my party was so desperate to pander to shut the government down," Fetterman said. "Absurd, absolutely absurd. 6 months ago, we were lecturing the Republicans, you can't shut the government down. Now it's, well, yeah, let's do these things." Yeah, it's like that's part of the problem, to pander. "And they want to pander to the extreme parts of our party to shut the government down. I said I will never burn the village down and claim that I'm saving it." Fetterman also pointed to Michigan as an example of political pandering that failed, claiming the Democrat Party tried to appeal to the left-wing Arab-American population only to see that state lose to President Donald Trump. And he called out squad member Rashida Tlaib for refusing to support President Biden and then later Vice President Harris during the 2024 election because of their support for Israel. He said, "Now you're yelling about how terrible Trump is," Fetterman said, "and you helped elect him, and your base in your home city delivered to Trump, and now that's just emblematic of where our party was," Fetterman said. He called out another left Democratic representative on Friday when he fired back at AOC over her suggestion that Democrats fight harder after she urged her party to vote against spending measures in the Senate. Fetterman said the following. He said, "Fight harder, a stunt that would have harmed millions and plunged us into chaos." He shared a screenshot featuring a quotation of Ocasio-Cortez's comment, "We kept our government open, deal with it," which she had said the last time there was a battle about keeping the government open. But that's when she wanted the government to stay open because the Democrats were in charge. The same people that were whining and screaming about pushing grandma down a cliff and shoving her down a cliff and everything else back then, they said, "We kept the government open, deal with it." Now they turn around, they go, "Kept the government open? You've just delivered a crisis." So, I mean, Fetterman's calling them out because he has to for his own political survival. Pennsylvania is still a very strange political state. It really is. And, you know, if you think for a second that any seat is a gimme, you're wrong. And that's the way it's going to be. All right. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Love Cape May and love spring break. And spring break's right around the corner. And now is your time to take the kiddos to the spring break, to the splash package at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And the packages include breakfast, and you'll have some real savings. They'll love the heated indoor pool. All you got to do is go to grandhotelcapemay.com and mark your calendar. Our first live show of the year is coming up on June 20th, Friday, June 20th, 2025, at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, grandhotelcapemay.com. I have some other clips for you from today. Obviously, the other big story is still the Soul Signal debacle, which I think we got to move on from this. But here's Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, talking about how Signal has been approved for top government use, cut 33.
Again, first of all, Signal has
actually, let me jump in here. The president is speaking from the Oval Office. Can we jump in here and take a listen to this?
Great women. All women are great. So, this is the beginning of Liberation Day in America. We're going to take back just some of the money that has been taken from us by people sitting behind this desk or another desk that's not quite as nice, but they have their choice of seven, as you know. And we're going to charge countries for doing business in our country and taking our jobs, taking our wealth, taking a lot of things that they've been taking over the years. They've taken so much out of our country, friend and foe. And frankly, friend has been oftentimes much worse than foe. And this is very modest. And what we're going to be doing is a 25% tariff on all cars that are not made in the United States. If they're made in the United States, there's absolutely no tariff. We start off with a 2.5% base, which is what we were at. And we go to 25%. And basically, as you know, and as you've been seeing, not reporting as accurately as it should be reported, because it's a massive story. Business is coming back to the United States so that they don't have to pay tariffs. And I think also because of November 5th, the election, they're very happy. AI is coming back to levels that nobody's ever seen before. It's a new, sort of a new business, I guess, when you think about it. But it's plants are going up all over the United States, and many of them have already been started. We're getting early electricity taken care of. We're getting permits very quickly for them. And we're going to make their life very happy. They're coming in with tens of billions of dollars. Individual plants will cost 10, 15, and 20 billion dollars. We're going to let them build electricity generating plants along with their plant. And they can't even believe it. But and we're going to get them very quick permits, as I've done always. I did that in Louisiana with two LNG plants. I got them one permit in one day after waiting 14 years and the other one in one week after waiting for 12 years. But this is very exciting to me. This is the automobile industry, and this will continue to spur growth like you haven't seen. Before I was elected, we were losing all of our plants. They were being built in Mexico and Canada and other places. Now those plants largely have stopped, and they're moving them to our country. And Indiana, the great state of Indiana, I love Indiana. Honda is building one of the biggest plants anywhere, and they've just started. They wouldn't have done it without this. In all cases, they wouldn't have done it without what we're doing. So we'll effectively be charging a 25% tariff. But if you build your car in the United States, there is no tariff. And what that means is a lot of foreign car companies, a lot of companies are going to be in great shape because they've already built their plant. But their plants are underutilized, so they'll be able to expand them inexpensively and quickly. But others will come into our country and build, and they're already looking for sites. They're looking for mostly sites. They don't want to take the old buildings that are empty and falling down. They want to build new, and there's tremendous action. There is likewise for other companies and countries like the chip making process. Your chip bill was a disaster done by Biden. All he does is give tremendous amounts of billions of dollars to chip companies that will do nothing with the money. They're not going to use the money here. They're going to just keep it. They have plenty of money. The one thing they have is they have a lot of money. In our case, all we're doing is saying you can't come in unless you build here. And the largest chip company by far is manufacturer from Taiwan is building here. And it'll give us almost 40% of the chip market just with that. They're spending almost $200 billion in the United States to build a plant, and they've almost started. They'll be doing much of the work in Arizona. So we have a lot of exciting things, but to me, this is one of the most exciting. Now, outside of one specific day, and that's Liberation Day. That's the real Liberation Day of America, and that's going to be in April 2nd, and I look forward to it. We'll have a little news conference. We'll talk about it, but this is very exciting. So we're signing a executive order today that's going to lead to tremendous growth in the automobile industry. As you know, the electric mandate that we did allows you to buy a car now with electric or gasoline powered or hybrid. You can buy any car you want. We had it so that within a short period of time, you had to buy all electric, and the country could never get, they could never provide the money necessary to build all of those power plants that you would need all over the country. As you know, in the Middle West, they built 8 power stations. That's like the size of this desk or smaller. And they ended up spending $9 billion on 8. And of the 8, 4 of them didn't work. And we're not doing that. So you can buy electric or you can buy gasoline. or you can buy hybrid, or you can buy whatever you want to buy. And that's the way it should be. The market's going to determine that. And you're going to see prices going down, but it's going to go down specifically because they're going to buy what we're doing, incentivizing companies to, and even countries, but companies to come into America and build. And we're already setting records for new plants. I think the new plant number, the tally is just within a period of a few weeks. It's very large. I want to be accurate. It's very large. And I'd like to ask Will just to come and give some of the basics, and then I'll sign it. And it's off to the races. I think our automobile business will flourish like it's never flourished before. Yes, please, Will.
Thank you, sir. As you stated, we've prepared for your attention a proclamation imposing a 25% tariff on foreign-made cars and light trucks. This is in addition to tariffs that are already in place on those goods. In addition to, as you said, spurring increased domestic manufacture of cars and trucks, we expect that these tariffs will result in over $100 billion of new annual revenue to the United States of America in tariff revenue.
I think ultimately we could probably anywhere from $600 billion to $1 trillion will be taken in over the relatively short term period, meaning a year from now, but starting right away. I think we'll go from 600 to $1 trillion within 2 years. And I think we'll be right from the beginning, we're going to be at a very high number right from the beginning. And right from the beginning, you're going to have a lot of construction jobs, but you're also going to have a lot of automobile jobs. So this is very exciting. But it's also exciting because of what's happening with other aspects. We're going to be doing tariffs on pharmaceuticals in order to bring our pharmaceutical industry back. We don't make anything here in terms of drugs, medical drugs, different types of drugs that you need, medicines. It's in other countries, largely made in China, a lot of it made in Ireland. Ireland was very smart. We love Ireland. But we're going to have that. We're going to have lumber. We're going to free up some of our land. And you'll be able to meet a lot of other standards like fire cuts. If Los Angeles had fire cuts, which they didn't have, that's a gap of half a football field between areas. You wouldn't have had the fires. They would have been contained. But you have fire cuts. And by the way, you sell that wood for a lot of money, a lot of profit is made from that. But we're going to be doing lumber. We're freeing up our land so that we don't have to use outside sources of lumber. Energy, we're doing fantastically well at. You know, the energy prices have been coming down rapidly as we increase supply, and we've already done that. We have Chris and Doug are doing a fantastic job in that. That's Department of Energy and Department of Interior. And they're working together hand in hand because Interior has the land and Energy has the ability to do the drilling and do what they have to do. Our coal areas are going to be opened up for clean, beautiful coal. Germany's opening up many coal plants now. You know, they tried the wind and it didn't work. They almost went out of business. They almost went bankrupt. They tried wind, which is a disaster because it's too expensive and it doesn't look good. Kills all the birds. A lot of problems. But Germany is now building a lot of coal plants. China is building one a week. Think of that. And they're using coal, which is very powerful. Coal is a very powerful energy. And we're opening up our coal mines again. And we're going to do, I call it beautiful, clean coal. The technology is so good now that coal can give you tremendous power at the same time. It can be very clean. But we're also obviously doing oil and gas and various other things. You can do pretty much whatever you want. We don't like the wind because we think it ruins the landscapes, the plains, ruins them. And it's got a lot of problems. It's also by far the most expensive energy. It looks horrible in the oceans. It's dangerous in the oceans in terms of navigation. And if you look at what's happening with whales, you know, in one area, they lost two whales, like in 20 years, washed ashore. And this year they had 17 washed ashore. So there's something happened out there. There's something driving the whales.
Thank God he's talking about this.
But they lost two in 20 years.
Love it.
And now they lost 17 in a short period of time. So it's something wrong out there. So this is very exciting. This is going to lead to the construction of a lot of plants, and a lot, in this case, auto plants. And you're going to see numbers like you haven't seen, both in terms of employment. Takes a little while. You're going to have great construction numbers initially, and then ultimately you're going to have a lot of people making a lot of cars. And one other thing, we have the Speaker of the House with us, who's doing a fantastic job. And where's Mike? And we're trying to get approved. Mike, thank you very much for being here. We're trying to get approved, if we can. If you borrow money to buy a car, you're allowed to deduct interest payments for purposes of income tax, but only if the car is made in America. So if the car is made in America, you get a loan, you can deduct the interest. That's a big saving. A lot of people in that part of the world, in terms of buying cars, a lot of them don't think in terms of deductions. People that think in terms of deductions are very wealthy people. But people are going to start understanding what a good deduction is all about. So when you get a loan to buy a car, and I think it's going to pay for itself. I don't think there's any cost. I think you're going to have so many cars built. But you're only going to get that deduction of interest if the car is made in the United States of America. So I'm going to sign this. And, Mike, I hope you can get that, because I think it's going to be amazing in terms of the number of cars that are going to be made because of it. And I want to thank Howard Lutnick, our fabulous commerce chairman. That's what he is. He's a chairman. He's a very successful guy, a great guy. And we have a big day, Howard, coming up next week. It's going to be great. That's Liberation Day. That's going to be on the 2nd, and that's going to be reciprocal. And I think people will be impressed. We're going to be very fair. We're going to be very nice, actually. We have not been treated nicely by other countries, but we're going to be nice. So I think people will be pleasantly surprised, but it's going to make our country very rich, because we're the piggy bank that everybody steals from, and they've been doing it for many years, for decades, and we're not going to let it happen. But we're going to treat people very nicely. We're going to treat other countries very, very nicely. And I think it's going to have a very positive effect on everybody, including those other countries. So I'll sign this, and we will see you again on April the 2nd. In terms of this, it's going to be another round. And it's about making America great again, making it strong and prosperous again. Thank you very much.
Sir, so this is my daughter.
Next question, Mr. President, on the car tariffs, how do you assure that a car coming into the country is fully built? Could an automaker in Germany say, leave the tires off a car?
Yeah, we're going to have very strong policing, and it's pretty easy to do. If parts are made in America and a car isn't, those parts are not going to be taxed or tariffed. And we'll have very strong policing as far as that's concerned. For the most part, I think it's going to lead cars to be made in one location. You know, right now, a car would be made here, sent to Canada, sent to Mexico, sent all over the place. It's ridiculous. So this is a very simple system. And the beauty of the 25, it's one number. It's not up or down, depending on the cost of the car. It's one number. And that number is going to be used to reduce debt greatly in the United States and to build things, reduce taxes. I mean, you know, basically, I view it as reducing taxes and also reducing debt. And within a fairly short period of time, I think we're going to have a balance sheet that's going to be outstanding. Yeah.
Can you assure Americans then that this will not cause a long-term increase in prices?
Well, look, I think we're going to have a market the likes of which nobody's ever seen before, not in this country. You know, we had the best market ever in my first term. It was the strongest market ever, the best economy ever. And I think this blows it away. But this is something that people have wanted to do, presidents have wanted to do for a long time. A lot of them didn't understand it. It wasn't a priority for them. But foreign countries understood it very well. And they've really ripped us off at levels that nobody's seen before. But that's not going to happen.
Mr. President, is this for today or April 2nd, the auto tariffs, sir?
Say it.
Do these auto tariffs go into effect today or on April 2nd?
They go into effect on April 2nd. We're signing today. It goes into effect April 2nd. We start collecting on April 3rd. What does that mean? Not then, but we will be putting a tariff on lumber. We, as you know, have a tariff already on steel and on aluminum of 25%, and we're taking in tremendous amounts of dollars. More importantly, are steel factories and aluminum factories are roaring. They're starting to roar. They're building new ones. I just heard from Nucor, which is a big company, a very big steel company, and they're building a massive plant for steel that they wouldn't build without this. So you're going to see things that are going to be actually amazing. And I think you already have. You know, we've had some news conferences where I can't have enough. They want to do news conferences where they announce they're going to spend $20, $30, $40 billion. But Apple, as an example, is spending $500 billion. Okay, any other?
On the Signal chat, Senator Roger Wicker.
Hold on one second.
Go ahead. Reciprocal tariffs next week. Will those be immediately effective April 2nd on all countries, or will you focus on the worst offenders?
No, we're going to make it all countries. And we're going to make it very lenient. I think people are going to be very surprised. It'll be, in many cases, less than the tariff that they've been charging us for decades. So I think people are going to be very, very surprised.
Why is that?
I think they'll be pleasantly surprised. I don't know. I think we're trying to keep it somewhat conservative.
And on these auto tariffs, we saw, obviously, the NASDAQ 100 go down 2% at close, S&P 500 down 1%. What are you concerned
about? Is that today?
Today? Yes, sir. Yeah.
I didn't say that. I want to see the jobs. I want to see that'll all take care of itself. That could take care of itself in 1 day, 2 days, or 1 week.
Are there any conditions under which you'd remove these auto tariffs, sir, or is this permanent for the rest of your term in office?
Oh, this is permanent, yeah, 100%, yeah.
Are you on the tariffs, sir? Did Elon Musk advise you at all on these auto tariffs?
No, because he may have a conflict, so we don't talk. I've never talked to him. Elon's amazing. He's never asked me for a favor in business whatsoever. I'm actually a little surprised by it. I might do it. I might not do it. I do what's right. And he'd want me to do what's right. No, he's a patriot. He has never, you know, these are big deals we're talking about. This is probably nothing like this. And I've never had Elon come and say, would you do me a favor with the mandate or the electric mandate or anything? He's never asked me for anything.
Sir, also, what's your response to Republican lawmakers who have said today that your administration should take more accountability and not downplay what's happened with Signal that we've seen in these messages today?
Well, I don't know about downplaying. The press upplays it. I think it's all a witch hunt. That's all. I think it's a witch hunt. I wasn't involved with it. I wasn't there. But I can tell you the result is unbelievable because the Houthis are looking to do something. They want to know how do we stop? Can we have peace? The Houthis want peace because they're getting the hell knocked out of them. It's been very, very strong. The Houthis are dying for peace. They don't want this. And they're bad. Look, they were knocking ships out of the ocean. You know, we had in the Suez Canal, they only have about 20% of the ships going through. They have to go through a different way, which takes weeks of travel. And that really affects commerce. But the Houthis have been hit hard and they want to negotiate peace. But I don't think they're quite. Say it.
Do you still believe nothing classified was shared?
Well, that's what I've heard. I don't know. I'm not sure. You have to ask the various people involved. I really don't know. I can only tell you this. You know, you don't want to talk about it. The Houthis have been horrible to the world, what they've done, killed a lot of people, and knocked down a lot of ships and planes and anything else. You know, it's not just the ships. And they have been hit. They have been hit harder than they've ever been hit. And they want us to stop so badly. And they've got to stop. They've got to say no mas. But I can only say that the attacks, it's attacks every day, every night. It's not just the one. You're talking about one. The attacks have been very successful, even beyond our wildest expectations. We've hit them very hard, very successfully. And we're going to do it for a long time. We're going to keep it going for a long time.
Senate Republicans said that they have formally asked the administration for an inspector general report on the Signal issue. Will you agree to that?
It doesn't bother me. I don't know. I want to find if there's any mistake or if a Signal doesn't work. It could be that Signal's not very good. You know, it's a company. Maybe it's not very good. I think we'd rather know about it now. There was no harm done because the attack was unbelievably successful that night. And it has been unbelievably successful every single night. for the last 4 or 5 nights. So, and that's the thing that you should be talking about. This is something that should have been done by sleepy Joe Biden, but he was asleep at the wheel, other than when it came to stealing money, of course. Joe Biden should have done this attack on Yemen, which is basically a certain group within Yemen, the Houthis. And this should have been done by Joe Biden, and it wasn't. And that causes this world a lot of damage and a lot of problems.
He's responsible. But he's also overseeing the investigation to find out what went wrong. Maybe
who's responsible?
Mike Waltz says that he's responsible.
Well, yeah, Mike Waltz, I guess he said he claimed responsibility, I would imagine. Had nothing to do with anyone else. It was Mike, I guess. I don't know. I always thought it was Mike. But again, the attacks were unbelievably successful, and that's ultimately what you should be talking about, I think. So Mike did, he took responsibility for it.
Should Secretary Hegseth consider his position over the signal?
Hegseth is doing a great job. He had nothing to do with this. Hegseth. How do you bring Hegseth into it? He had nothing to do. Look, it's all a witch hunt. Here we are talking about some of the greatest business deals ever made. The greatest companies in the world are moving into the United States. And you want to ask about whether or not Signal works. I don't know that Signal works. I think Signal could be defective, to be honest with you. And I think that's what we have to, because you use Signal and we use Signal and everybody uses Signal. But it could be a defective platform. And we're going to have to find that out.
Have you been briefed about the soldiers in Lithuania who are missing?
No, I haven't.
Have you spoken, sir, with the big three automakers about these tariffs? What was their reaction?
I have.
What was their reaction?
It depends on whether or not they have factories here. I can tell you, if they have factories here, they're thrilled. If you don't have factories here, they're going to have to get going and build them, because otherwise they have to pay tariffs. Very simple. And most of those have pretty big factories here, like General Motors has big factories here. They're going to move their parts divisions back to the United States, because some of them were made in Canada and some of them were made in Mexico and other places. They'll be moving their parts division back to the United States in factories where they may be at 60% capacity. So they don't even really have to build too much of a factory. But, you know, generally speaking, if they have factories here, plants here, where they make their cars and equipment, but they make their cars here, they are thrilled. Same thing with the steel industry. Steel industry is now paying a 25% tariff, as you know, I put it on last week. And the business is roaring in the United States. And we can't, because of military, we can't lose the steel industry. If I didn't put the initial tariffs on steel in my first term, you wouldn't be able to have a military, because we wouldn't have every steel company would be bankrupt in the United States and every plant would be closed. But now they're booming. And putting this tariff on, this additional tariff for steel and aluminum, it's making them thrive. And it's already happened.
Will you extend that deadline if you don't have a deal? Do you support Oracle?
Well, we will have a form of a deal. TikTok is very popular, very successful, very good. We're going to have a form of a deal, but if it's not finished, it's not a big deal. We'll just extend it. I have the right to have the deal and to extend it if I want. So we'll see whether or not we have a deal. We have a lot of interest in TikTok.
Is there a way for a U.S. company to operate it and ByteDance to still have a share of the algorithm?
Well, there are numerous ways you can buy TikTok, and we will find the one that's best for the country, for our country. I'm worried about our country more than anything else with respect to TikTok. And China is going to have to play a role in that, possibly, in the form of an approval, maybe. And I think they'll do that. Maybe I'll give them a little reduction in tariffs or something to get it done, you know, because every point in tariff is worth more money than TikTok. If you think every point, tariff is a much bigger world and TikTok is big, but every point in tariffs is worth more than TikTok. So in order to get China to do, maybe I'd give them a reduction in tariffs as an example. Sounds like something I did.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to pause the president speaking in the Oval Office. This was kind of something that just happened. We weren't expecting this, but here we are right now, and we'll do that. I do want to tell you that this is obviously the big story of the hour, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VanariaDental.com. Quick break, coming right back. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Sometimes the president cuts into your show, but they also cut away from the five to take the president. And I only know that because I was conversing with a certain member of that show. And I said, isn't it nice when president cuts into our shows like this? Anyway, see, even though I got my scooter stuck in the revolving door at Fox News on Monday, I did mention I was up there, right? Did I bring that? I'm not sure did I say that?
I thought I mentioned that. It. I think you did. I'm not.
Okay.
You don't do a great job at promoting yourself, so it's hard to remember.
Yeah, I'm gonna get better. It's my New Year's resolution.
You're too modest.
I know. And you know, as humiliating as getting stuck in the revolving door at Fox News was on my scooter, you know, like the anti-Superman. Like a Superman would go in there and come out, and Superman, and you know, like I scooter man, and then stuck. Come out, still Scooter Man.
It's your kryptonite.
It truly is. So the way out, the security guard's like, why don't we go through this door? It's like, you know what? Great idea. It's like, why don't you go out the door that the talent goes out instead of just the general public? I was like, not a bad idea. I'll just do that from now on, you know? So anyway, what's that?
Well, I thought you said something. I didn't say anything.
We have a few minutes left to the president from the Oval Office. And, you know, I mean, look, I give him credit. He is the most accessible president I've ever seen. I've never, not even his first term, has he been this accessible to the press. Answers every question. Nothing's pre-scripted. You know, flies by the seat of his pants. Nothing's off the table, you know. And so let's continue with this. Go ahead.
TikTok sale. Will you extend that deadline if you don't have a deal? Do you support Oracle?
Well, we will have a form of a deal. TikTok is very popular, very successful, very good. We're going to have a form of a deal, but if it's not finished, it's not a big deal. We'll just extend it. I have the right to have the deal and to extend it if I want. So we'll see whether or not we have a deal. We have a lot of interest in TikTok.
Is there a way for a U.S. company to operate it and ByteDance to still have a share of the algorithm?
Well, there are numerous ways you can buy TikTok, and we will find the one that's best for the country, for our country. I'm worried about our country more than anything else with respect to TikTok. And China is going to have to play a role in that, possibly, in the form of an approval, maybe. And I think they'll do that. Maybe I'll give them a little reduction in tariffs or something to get it done. You know, because every point in tariff is worth more money than TikTok. If you think every point tariff is a much bigger world and TikTok is big, but every point in tariffs is worth more than TikTok. So in order to get China to do, maybe I'd give them a reduction in tariffs as an example. Sounds like something I'd do.
Do you think tariffs are going to be good for Tesla, sir?
Good for who?
Tesla, which makes it good.
He is a fantastic Tesla. Will tariffs be good? I think they may, it could be a net neutral or they may be good. He has a big plant in Texas. He has a big plant in California. And anybody that has plants in the United States, it's going to be good for, in my opinion.
Mr. President, you want to return education control to the states. How would you handle it if a state like California were to put in place education?
You know, I haven't seen a mask in so long. You're wearing a mask. So nice of you. I haven't seen anybody wearing a mask in a long time. It's good. You feel more comfortable, right?
Yes.
Good. That's good. So go ahead.
You said you want to return education control to the states. How would you handle it if a state like California were to put in place education policies you disagree with?
Well, I think that California is going to be tougher because they're doing badly on everything they do. You know, everything they touch turns bad. So a place like California would be tougher for education. But what I would see with California is you'd have a Los Angeles department and you'd have Riverside. You'd have, you know, you'd go to various places. And I think you'd have some great areas in California. And then you'd have some like everything else that doesn't work so well. But ultimately, I think it would be very successful. I think in New York, as an example, you'd go to Long Island. Westchester, you may have Nassau County, Queens County, you end up, you break it up in certain ways so that have maybe five departments, you know, because of the size, that have five departments instead of one. A state like Iowa, you'd have one. And I mean, they're just chomping at the bit to get going. So many states are chomping at the bit to get education, and it's going to happen fast to get the education.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what happened. Just to cut out in the middle of a word. All right. Well, there you go. That's the president speaking from the Oval Office. Obviously, the big news out of that, no doubt about it, is that the president announced tariffs, 25% tariffs on all cars that are coming into the United States of America. This is something that he's talked about doing, something he said he would do on the campaign trail. This is part of the reason why the United Auto Workers and other people, I mean, members of the United Auto Workers, wound up backing him. Yeah, look, he ran on it. You know, I know there's a lot of people in the audience don't love tariffs, but he ran on this. He believes in this. He believes that America is being treated very unfairly, and he believes that this is the right thing to do, and he's doing it. So, you know, I mean, for whatever you want to say, the one thing I think is clear to say about Trump is that he's following through on what he said he would do in the campaign. And, you know, he's got a vision here. He believes this vision is going to work, and he believes that this is going to be the right thing to do for the American economy, and that eventually the American economy is going to be absolutely crushing it in time. And he thinks that a lot of these companies are going to wind up doing business in the United States of America. That was the crux of what the president was saying today. And he was also talking about the fact that we don't export cars to Europe because of the tariffs, but we have a lot of people driving around with, you know, fancy European automobiles over here in the United States of America. So so obviously, you know, this is going to become a very controversial thing, and there'll be a lot to discuss with this going forward. But I have a whole other hour ahead and a lot to get to, because obviously this kind of cut into the whole 5 o'clock hour. So we have a lot more to get to. So don't go anywhere. I do want to tell you, though, about Emmons Roofing and Siding, my great friends at Emmons. Terrific people over there, Matt and Stephanie, great friends of mine, great friends of the show. They're going to do great work for you and your home. How does a 10% off inflation relief discount sound for you and for your family? Sounds great, doesn't it? Absolutely. Because the work you're going to get done is going to be work that you will always appreciate, you know, going forward. We first used Emmons in our old house for the roof, and they did a fantastic job on the roof. So much so that we said, let's do the windows, doors, siding, and so much more. And Emmons took care of all of it for us, and I'm truly grateful for the great work. And we became friends. And, you know, I saw Matt and Stephanie last week at the Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon. They brought a very generous check. Got to see their son, Mason. He's a great kid. And it was just really nice to see them. So they serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And for 10 years in two different homes, I don't own two homes, but I owned a home, and now I have a different home. I used Emmons in both. And every time I was proud of the work and grateful for the work that they did. So reach out to them today by going to emmonsroofing.com. They also have a bathroom remodeling division. And yes, Emmons remodeled the bathroom in our old home, and Bridget was thrilled. And as they say, happy wife, happy life. So don't wait. Reach out today, emmonsroofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.